This is the Hervoy Moritz Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome to hour one. Some quick news. I saw the clip not long ago where Biden was shaking hands with Schumer and then immediately forgot he just shook hands with Schumer. At this point, I don't see how this is accidental. I think they are like in our face, the elites, with this incompetence of President Joe Biden. So amid a stirring speech about why our inflation-stricken country is now pumping more than $50 billion into semiconductors, Joe took a moment to shake hands with Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader, despite having just coughed repeatedly onto his hand, and then suffered an embarrassing viral moment when he almost immediately offered to shake hands with Chuck again, appearing to have forgotten that he had just done so. I think they're just rubbing it in our faces just to show us how dumb we are. I mean, this is happening. Anyways, it's just the usual with Joe. There continues to be some tensions out in Pakistan with Imran Khan. There have been rumors that as they call it, Imran Khan and his supporter, the imported government, the U.S.-backed regime in Pakistan, they have arrested. So there have been rumors that they were going to arrest Imran Khan. They were outside his residence, but apparently they had arrested his chief of staff. Tensions, things are still pretty hot out there in Pakistan. So we'll see what happens with Imran Khan. So apparently, I guess he hasn't been yet arrested. So, but it's interesting, the timing, how they were seeking to get Imran Khan. And it happened just like the day before they raided Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago. So it seems like they are going after, I guess, politicians who are more sovereignty minded, wherever they are on the planet. Interesting piece from NPR talks about how the U.S. made a breakthrough battery discovery and then gave the technology to China, a vanadium redox flow battery created by 24 U.S. scientists at a government lab. And instead of the batteries becoming the next great American success story, the warehouse was shuttered and emptied, and all the employees were laid off. And later, a Chinese company began making the batteries in Dalian, China. And basically, the Chinese, the article says, did not steal the technology. It was given to them by the Department of Energy. But again, this is nothing new for those people who research some of this stuff. It's been known that in the 90s, Bill Clinton, under his presidency and others, they helped transfer technology to the Chinese. In the 90s, Bill Gates went over there, opened the first Microsoft Center, and helped set up AI research in China. And he's got a very close relationship with Chinese elites. Bill Gates does, as few have. Actually, I think it was Hu Jintao when he visited in the 90s. The U.S., instead of meeting with the president, the president of the U.S., he first went and met Bill Gates. That should really tell you something. And more Great Reset news. The U.K. is planning for several days over the winter when cold weather may combine with gas shortages, leading to organized blackouts for industry and even households. They're planning for the worst-case scenario, where they could face an electricity capacity shortfall totaling about a sixth of peak demand. More fun in that regard. And some news on the Russia front. Apparently, Crimea, a Russian military base in Crimea, or Krim, I think as they say in Russia, has been hit by the Ukrainians. If you follow my monthly guest here on TNT Radio, Nikola Mikovic, Serbian analyst, which I might hang out with pretty soon. I think he predicted this. He keeps predicting all of these things. The Russians say it was a local, some sort of local sabotage. Either way, I guess they were hit. So, and let me just remind you, again that if you have a suggestion for a possible guest or host that you would like to hear on TNT Radio, or you have a topic you want us to touch on, we would, of course, like to hear from you. Just go to the suggestion form on the TNT Radio website. You can that's tntradio.live. You can also email me, Hiroy Modic at tntradio.live. Help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
Dismantling the woke.
It's a woke society, and I am fed up with it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I am joined by Alexis Baden-Meyer, the political director of the Organic Consumers Fund. They've got a wonderful website. They do a fantastic work, and they've got a fantastic email list and newsletter you should sign up on. It's at organicconsumers.org. Her Substack is scamerica.substack.com. You can find her on Twitter at Alexis Baden, M-A-Y-E. Welcome to TNT, Alexis.
Thanks so much, Arvoya. Great to be here with you.
It's great to have you on. I know I was on your OCA, how would I call it? You interviewed me a while back. And again, I really love the work that y'all do. And maybe if you could just tell us a bit about the work that you do, that OCA does, the issues you tackle, the freedoms you fight for, and the tyranny you fight against.
Great introduction. Well, our most popular campaign is Millions Against Monsanto. And we also work on organic standards, making sure that USDA organic means something. And we generally work against the worst forms of industrial agriculture. So pesticides, GMOs, factory farms. And we promote all of the benefits of regenerative organic agriculture. And I guess the ones I'm seeing that are most important these days are independent farmers.
Yeah, and that's very, going forward, this is going to be very important because of the Great Reset agenda, right? And shutting down farms, we're all going to have to try growing our own food. And as well on the website, you touch on the number of issues. If people go to organicconsumers.org or subscribe to the email list, there's just so much information. And you guys cover COVID, Great Reset, GMOs, technocracy, you know, vaccines, everything that's going on, and I know as well. I've been following your Twitter. You've been also looking at deep politics and JFK and that sort of stuff. But you know, maybe we can just go touch on different issues, but especially the ones that are kind of most pressing on your mind these days. And so, which one of those would it be?
Well, you know, I had really worked on GMOs for most of my career at Organic Consumers Association. So I started in 2005, and I kind of got a handle on those topics, and then I was thrown for a total loop in 2020. Honestly, I probably would have stayed asleep. I would have not known what was happening with the plandemic. But my boss, Ronnie Cummins, was writing a book with Dr. Joseph Mercola. And at a certain point early in 2020, they asked me to figure out how the genetic modifications of viruses was regulated. And, you know, I had heard Ronnie and Mercola talking, and I was like, oh, people think it like leaked from a lab or something. I just, you know, it was kind of one of these things I almost didn't want to know. I mean, I was raised by somebody who read all the books on the JFK assassination, and then all of my friends were part of the 9/11 truth movement. But I had, you know, carved a little activist path for myself where things seemed, you know, you have evil corporations like Monsanto. We know they're part of the military-industrial complex. Now it's merged with Bayer. We know Bayer had Nazi roots. But it's sort of like a manageable level of evil for your brain to understand, or at least for my little brain to understand. And then being asked to look into this question of genetically modified viruses, I just fell down a terrible rabbit hole. And so over the last couple of years, in addition to doing our normal core work, we have been diving into an issue which can only be described as biological weapons. And when I first looked into it, I just couldn't believe that it was anything more than a lab leak, if that was even possible. But now I'm convinced that, you know, obviously our country has been using biological weapons for a very long time. And after the Biological Weapons Convention in 1972, the plan was obviously to use it as a covert tactic.
And just to go back for a moment. You mentioned the rabbit hole. Aren't you glad you sort of went down the rabbit hole, though? And now your eyes kind of are even more open.
I don't know. You know, there are times when you start to get paranoid when you do this sort of work. I've been reading Operation Mind Control by Walter Boert. And if you're just the teensy bit paranoid, do not read that book, because it's every single way the deep state can go, you know, can unsettle you. Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy book. That's from 1994. It was first written in 1976. But geez, there's some things I think if you want to have a happy life, you shouldn't know. But then, you know, when I talked to you last, I was starting to go, you know, go down a little bit in my outlook. But towards the end of our conversation, you started reminding me of the things that we've always fought for. And you know, when it comes down to it, the answer is always having independent businesses, especially independent businesses providing for our basic needs, especially food, and you know, creating local economies that are, you know, that have, that can protect your community. You know, so the answer is the same no matter what issue we're talking about. And you know, it's like I wouldn't, you know, once I know the knowledge, I wouldn't turn away from it. I fell down the rabbit hole, and I guess I can't say I'm glad to be here, but I'm not, you know, I'm at this point where I need to know. It becomes an obsession. Once you realize that the world isn't what you thought it was, it does become an obsession to find the truth.
Yeah, it does become an obsession. And maybe then to get back to your looking into the bioweapons angle, and you said it's a cover, and I think it's very intertwined with, as you mentioned before, the GMOs. I know the Rockefellers were important at the start of the GMOs. I think it was like in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And then as these chemical and pharmaceutical combines as well are, I think, involved in all of this. There's a great German doctor and author, Dr. Rath, who wrote a book on, well, he talks about the Nazi roots of the EU, but as well as the big pharma roots of the Nazis, basically IG Farben and all of these big chemical pharmaceutical cartels, which are basically the same ones kind of involved in all of this stuff we're talking about today. But if you want to continue on what you've been seeing in relation to GMOs, bioweapons, and COVID.
Yeah, well, I do agree with you that it is all of a piece. A friend of mine wrote a really good book called The War on Bugs, and it's all about how World War I and World War II were used by industry to transform agriculture. Like, certainly, I don't think if it weren't for World War I and World War II, we would have had, you know, like you were saying, these chemical companies wouldn't be as strong. They needed that massive infusion of public dollars in a gigantic war effort in order to build their strength as corporations. And that could have only happened through war. But then, of course, the technology was quickly turned on our food supply. And really, when you think about it, obviously, it was turned on us. And yeah, that doesn't seem to be an accident either.
Yeah. And I mean, I looked into GMOs some 10, 15 years ago. I've interviewed William Engdahl, who wrote Seeds of Destruction. I've talked to him over a half dozen times. I recently reached out to Jeff Smith as well, who wrote Seeds of Deception. So hopefully he'll get back to me. He does really good work. But I haven't really been looking at GMOs too much lately. You know, you study this stuff, and, you know, people like Jeff and William, they talk about how GMOs can poke holes in your gut, create autoimmune disorders. You know, I had Kelly Ryerson on not too long ago talking about glyphosate, like how that's just total poison. Just this GMO scene, I feel like I haven't paid attention to it much lately, but I feel like not much has changed. I know, I think you said Bayer bought Monsanto, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, what's sort of the latest in relation to GMOs?
Well, I think because Europe had such strong GMO labeling laws so that consumers would know what they were eating, there has been a big effort in the last decade or so to create forms of engineering that are not regulated under current laws. So the CRISPR technology has been very important, and other types of gene editing, which, and, you know, different types of genetic modification that might not be considered the traditional transgene genetic modification, where you're swapping the genes between two unrelated organisms. Of course, I think that the initial, you know, when Monsanto hit upon the herbicide tolerant crops, they knew that they had picked a winner. You know, that was just the most diabolically evil genius move to create crops that so desperately rely on herbicides, so that you would have a never-ending increase in the levels and varieties of herbicides. I mean, I almost feel like the pesticide industry can hardly keep up with it. You know, they're turning to, you know, for lack of a better word, old-fashioned herbicides like 2,4-D, components of Agent Orange. And there haven't been that many new herbicides, although I think that's probably where they would go. You know, they're just going to modify every major crop for every herbicide that they can think of, and it's just going to make, it's going to continue to make them loads of money. You know, it's been really good to see so much focus on glyphosate, because that's what we're most exposed to, and it's very important for us to understand the health impacts. And we've even seen some justice in the court system with massive lawsuits, massive jury awards against Bayer on behalf of glyphosate exposed cancer victims, you know, in the billions. And, you know, it's even obviously something that calls attention to stockholders. You know, companies get in big trouble when they have a failure like that, because, you know, their job is to make money for their investors. So that's all been very positive. But on the other hand, you know, they can just, you know, it doesn't seem like they're going to do it anytime soon, but they could swap out glyphosate with 2,4-D or whatever other herbicides they have coming down the pike, and maybe, you know, invest some R&D. I guess they want to avoid having to spend too much money on their R&D, but if necessary, create new herbicides. So, you know, there's always a point at which, as an activist, you wonder, like, ah, shucks, you know, we had this great strategy and it's really borne fruit, but it might not get us to the end game that we want. And ultimately, you know, we have to completely get chemicals out of agriculture. And, you know, herbicides and pesticides, that's not as challenging as getting rid of the synthetic fertilizers, which also are a product of the war history of the chemical companies. But that's a tougher nut to crack. I mean, farmers are really dependent on synthetic fertilizers. And it takes a little while for the transition to be made to an organic system where you're using cover crops, where you're using intercropping and composts that are made of manure and farm waste. So, you know, they've taken us to the edge, and it's not going to be that easy to make the transition. But if we don't make the transition, you know, it's also a very brittle system that they've set up. I mean, if you look at what happened to Cuba when the Soviet Union dissolved and they weren't getting the support, they had to make a rapid transition to organic. And it was a very, very challenging period. So it's got to happen. I mean, now we're seeing the most recent stuff with the farmer protests in Europe and, you know, environmental laws being blamed on farmers having to make a transition. I mean, I'm not exactly sure how to read that, because that reads to me like the chemical companies using the farmers as a front to make sure this transition that's needed doesn't happen. So in the world we live in, it's really hard to read this, but this transition has to happen. And it's probably not going to be planned by the people running our economies. It's going to have to happen at the local level. And the communities that figure it out will thrive and survive, and the ones that don't won't. And you can already see this in statistics on where organic agriculture has been adopted around the United States. In those counties, you see higher standards of living, higher wages, stronger local economies. Organic really does make an impact on the local community. But unfortunately, the people managing the economy are not going to make a smooth transition. We're going to see this really rocky road ahead of us where we'll see certain aspects of the economy collapse, or in certain localities collapse. And you know, the people that chose the right path will be the ones who make it. I love what Sally Fallon of the Weston A. Price Foundation says. She says, we're going to see the survival of the wise. And but then I had another friend who told me that that was the name of a book written by a eugenicist in the early part of the century or the last century. So, you know, maybe even those concepts, like where we feel so smug that, you know, it's just hard to put a happy face on any of this, because even if you live in an area where there's lots of local farming and lots of independent farmers, we can't be happy about, you know, other nations, other communities becoming food insecure, as has happened obviously all over the world.
Those that don't choose the right path, I guess, will be eating insect protein and bug burgers. And speaking of transition, we have to transition to our first break. Again, the website is organicconsumers.org, scamerica.substack.com, and you can find Alexis on Twitter at Alexis Baden, M-A-Y-E. We'll be right back on TNT.
TNT Radio's George Eliason.
Ukraine is also continuing to use butterfly mines in Donetsk. And what's really nasty about these things is that they don't place them. They actually fly a rocket over. The rocket explodes overhead, a minor explosion. Really no consequence there, right? Might be a failed rocket. And it releases all these mines that flutter down. And some of them are brightly colored greens or pinks, so they attract children. And they're so light and fragile when you step on them that a 3 or 4 year old could set them off, which is why they're dangerous. There are brown and tan ones, and the leaves are starting to drop with the rainstorms here. So they're hiding in the natural debris. The other day in Donetsk, about four people had part of their foot blown off stepping on these things.
George Eliason on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I view Al Sharpton as a poverty pimp.
Terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland.
I walk outside every day in fear of white supremacy right here in the middle of the hood. Okay, yeah, right.
My grandparents had a cross burned on their property. We were slaves in the past. We're free now.
I never seen a white supremacist in my life. Never, and they can't point to one. Where the hell are they? I wish somebody would introduce me to a white supremacist. I would like to talk to them and take pictures with them, because I never seen one in my life.
Biden says that the country is systematically racist. You know, I almost want to look at him and say, haven't you been the system for the last 50 years?
He's the one that sponsored the 1994 crime bill, which unequivocally basically targeted black men in black neighborhoods.
The polarization, the left versus right, the black versus white.
Pro-choice against pro-life.
I work for Black Lives Matter. I'm sorry that I scared you.
People have had to make it like they're apologizing for their whiteness.
And could you just please apologize for, you know, for your white privilege?
What's more disheartening to me is that those who are within the black community are allowing for that to take place.
So really what we're dealing with is a cultural Marxism that Joe Biden and all the rest from the left were trying to inculcate into our society.
Well, you were once the oppressor, so now I must be the oppressor. You don't avenge evil for evil.
It's okay to say disparaging things against white people. Our former president, Barack Obama, said it, you know, about old white men are a problem. Except when it comes time for him to fly around on their airplanes and ride around on their yachts, or be their next door neighbors, or endorse them for president like Joe Biden, then old white men are okay. This is their last gasp.
What do progressive socialists really want?
Watch Systematic Deception at SalemNow.com.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done. over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines.
Donald Trump posted to his social media platform an eerie apocalyptic ad calling America a nation in decline, while also promising a political future for himself where he says the best is yet to come. The leaders of Estonia and Finland want fellow European countries to stop issuing tourist visas to Russian citizens. Taipei's foreign minister says that China is using its large-scale military exercises around Taiwan to prepare for an invasion of the self-governed island.
Don't miss a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download. Keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
We are back with Alexis Biden-Meyer of the Organic Consumers Association, which you can find at organicconsumers.org. Her Substack is scamerica.substack.com, and you can find her on Twitter at Alexis Biden, M-A-Y-E. As well as OCA, you can find on Twitter at Organic Consumer. And sort of getting back to COVID-1984, you've been looking into bioweapons. We've had, you know, swine flu stuff going on, 1976, 2009, the coronavirus, monkeypox. And I would also consider the DARPA gene therapy, the injections themselves as bioweapons as well. Like the second part, I've spoken to Francis Boyle and others who basically say that that is the case. And I think it's for the people who look at this that it's evidence. So and I think we're seeing a lot of adverse effects, all sorts of different types of adverse effects, as well as death, and just more and more. I'm myself across the world, like in Mexico, and now here I'm in Croatia right now, and even a family member of mine, it seems, may have been affected now by the injection. And again, that's hard to prove, but they're having the same types of effects as many others who have taken the injection. So, you know, your further thoughts on COVID-1984.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear that. And I just want you to know that there are some things that might help. Black seed oil, I'm hearing, is good for long COVID as well as some of the impacts of the vaccine. And each week on our Rockfin channel, I talk to Dr. Henry Ely of the Energetic Health Institute, and he's been looking at nutritional ways to impact the vaccine injuries. And for extreme cases, fasting is very helpful, he's finding. Of course, for all of us, we should probably all be doing intermittent fasting, where we're spending a good deal of our day without eating and not eating until we're hungry, and eating in a shorter period, and then trying not to eat so much right before we go to bed. But fasting might be a way to help detox from the COVID injections. But it really is a scary situation, because it literally is, obviously, the genetic modification of human beings. We have never before injected our bodies with mRNA technology, which is genetic information that is altering our cell functions. We have natural RNA, which is telling our body how to produce proteins for cell function. And now we have this genetically modified mRNA going into our bodies and hijacking our cells and telling our cells to produce a spike protein. That is genetic modification. I can't imagine that anyone would argue with me about that. And you know, even in its simplest sense, if we just take it at face value for what it's being described to us as, I mean, it's insane. It sounds like it's setting us up, obviously, for autoimmune diseases. Like we're going to genetically modify our cells so it produces an antigen, and then we're going to hope that our immune system attacks the thing that our cell produced. That's not a good scenario. That's autoimmune disease right there, the body's immune system attacking itself. So, and then of course there are so many reports of people having, usually in a normal vaccine, it would be localized. you would be producing an immune reaction just in the arm where the injection happens. But of course, the spike protein ends up being produced all over the body and then traveling through our bodies and then lodging in certain parts of our bodies. And I guess it's pretty typical that our reproductive systems are very vulnerable. And of course, women are reporting big changes to their periods and having bizarre things happen like decidual cast shedding. I recently interviewed Maureen McDonald at the at Millions Against Medical Mandates, and they worked with gynecologists to put together a study of reports from women, you know, post-vaccine or even post-exposure to someone else's vaccine and the period problems that women have been having. So yeah, it's, you know, we're just, geez, we're just like a year into this. My organization has always been most loved by people who are concerned that they were damaged by eating genetically modified foods. And they came to OCA to learn about eating organic and how to detox from GMOs and how to restore healthy gut bacteria after exposure to pesticides and get back on the track of health. I think that's why most people got interested in organic consumers associations, because they realized that what they were eating had an impact on their health. Now we're going to see a whole new generation, a wave of people who realize that they've been impacted by these gene editing injections. And it's going to take a lot of effort on the natural health and organic community to try to help people with these impacts. And I do believe, you know, our bodies do have an incredible capacity to heal. Like what I've learned from Dr. Ely about the power of fasting and how that kicks in so many special cell functions to detox. I think we can heal, you know, in most situations. Of course, we have 30,000 people now who have been killed by the COVID vaccines, according to the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting Service. So, you know, obviously horrible things are happening, but, you know, it's never too late to switch over to a natural health perspective and try to heal. I think our bodies have incredible capacity. So I'd be happy to talk to you personally about, you know, whatever information I can get to your family about the situation.
Yeah, thanks. And even, you know, just the idea itself of genetically editing and modifying, I mean, all of this stuff, I don't even like that idea, like from a philosophical perspective where they're meddling with nature and then with animals and, you know, all the, we've seen mosquitoes and humans and food. And it's just like, this is like a global Frankenstein type thing. The world is this giant Frankenstein laboratory. And what do you call it? When you open the Pandora's box, you can't stop it. Like the effect, the unintended consequences are permanent. And then we just kind of blow up the world. And I saw you on George Galloway's show, which was pretty cool, talking about vaccines. I forget when that was, but you know, also
that
the
was
issue
really
of vaccines.
Early. Yeah. Uh-huh. That was like way before the vaccines came out.
Yeah. And I've seen one consequence of every, you know, COVID has woken a lot of people up. A lot of people were mm-hmm. before they were kind of like, as you were saying, what kind of happened to you, but so many people have sort of woken up that were in the, I don't know, normie, let's say, frame of mind. And so many people now just have lost faith in general with all vaccines. And I was like that before COVID, because I also like the concept that you talk about organic farming, organic food, organic human. Like I don't want to inject anything in myself. And I mean, there's plenty of people that they live 100 years old that they've never injected themselves. I just, again, for me, it doesn't make sense. And even diet, like I just changed countries and I had an issue and it was related to diet. And like just changing my diet completely fixed it. And it's like you don't need anything else. And so sort of your further thoughts, any further thoughts on the vaccines? It seems like they just keep pushing them, and now they're pushing the monkeypox stuff.
Yeah, I think there's no end to the level of greed. And I do believe that there is a eugenicist population control mindset too. I mean, you would have to have that mindset you know, to put something like this, you know, to demand. I mean, it's not just like they're making it available. It's basically like, you know, a lot of people have lost their jobs over this, can't go to school, or are being forced to take these injections to maintain their livelihoods and continue to be educated. I mean, it's, yeah, it's just ridiculously awful. But, you know, to take it a step further, I want to share with you something I learned about what DARPA is working on in the realm of genetic engineering. They have Jennifer Doudna, who is credited, I believe she won the Nobel Prize for her discovery of CRISPR technology. I can't be sure of that, but she is extremely famous for coming up with the CRISPR form of genetic engineering. And she is currently working under a DARPA contract to figure out, supposedly, to figure out defenses to unwanted human genetic engineering, right? So see, so that it doesn't take much of an imagination to see what's going on here. So clearly the US military envisions genetic engineering of human beings, you know, adult human beings, like what we're seeing with the vaccine is genetic engineering through injection. I mean, honestly, I didn't even know about that before these vaccines came out, because it, you know, it wasn't something that was coming up in agriculture. And it never occurred to me that our government would want to start genetically modifying adult human beings this way. You know, the worst fears were really like, oh, what if they want to engineer embryos, you know, like eggs and sperm? But no, they figured out a way to inject us with genetic engineering materials. And they are clearly seeing this in terms of weaponry. And they have the top scientists in their field working on this project. So I think that, yeah, I think we have to be really careful moving forward. I hope that, you know, I know that people can wake up. When I started my work at Organic Consumers Association in 2005, I had come from the drug policy world. I was working on industrial hemp, and I worked at Marijuana Policy Project and Stop the Drug War and Students for Sensible Drug Policy. And, you know, as a young person who didn't really worry too much about my health, I was a vegetarian for the environment. And, you know, I thought it was totally fine to eat, you know, drink Mountain Dew and eat Doritos and live off of Chinese takeout. I just, you know, I was young and I didn't worry about it. And so, you know, working at Organic Consumers Association became a really strong education. And, you know, it happened to me at the right time in my life when I was having kids. And so, you know, it's never too late to adopt a more skeptical perspective, to decide not to get boosted, you know, to consider, you know, fewer vaccinations for your next child. You know, my first kid, she's 18 now, vaccinated to the hilt. And, you know, her father, who I'm no longer married to, he and his family convinced her to get vaccinated for COVID and then to get a booster. So, you know, but my younger child, who is only 10 now, I haven't given him a single vaccine. And if you watch that George Galloway interview, I really hadn't, quite honestly, I had not made my mind up yet, because I really did sort of believe that the pandemic was a threat to our lives. And certainly I do believe that COVID-19 is a biological weapon, but it seems to have been engineered for the most part. I guess we can't assume that there aren't more lethal varieties that are being, you know, that we're being exposed to in some cases. So you can never be so sure. But I now believe that the vaccine is more dangerous than the circulating virus. But at the beginning of all this, I had no clue. And even though I hadn't vaccinated my young child, I sort of had it in the back of my mind, like, well, you know, if there is a pandemic or some sort of deadly disease is circulating, you know, we can always get vaccinated then for a real threat. But otherwise, why take the risk on something that clearly causes occasional deaths and perhaps is having an impact on public health overall on some level. So, you know, I really wasn't sure what to think. And my mind has been changed just because it's something that, you know, I'm learning about a little bit more each day with my work, and just because I'm interested now. And I really hope that everyone keeps an open mind about these things. Like, we don't have to be pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine. We just have to be skeptical, open-minded, and always keep in our minds the fact that corporations and the US government might not have our health in mind when they make these decisions. They seem to be obviously working for corporate interests.
Yeah, I would also say it's never too late to change your life for the better. As I said before, I'm just experiencing now, I'm getting a lot of sun here in Croatia on the beach, feeling good. And again, the diet, I just switched it, and it's just amazing how your body responds and your health comes back so quickly when you stop eating, you know, junk food and just eat super big salads and organic food, clean food, drinking a lot of water. And so maybe on the other side of this second break, we can talk more solutions and health principles and that sort of thing. The website, again, is organicconsumers.org, scamerica.substack.com. And you can find Alexis on Twitter at Alexis Baden Maye, M-A-Y-E. We'll be right back on TNT Radio.
You are the pollution they want to eliminate. Stay tuned.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
I'm not making this up. The headline in Scientific American, human pee is a problem pollutant and, quote, can contribute to warming. So not only is your human breath, you exhale carbon dioxide, a pollutant, now your urine or your pee is a primary climate warming agent. Your pee's nitric oxide can contribute to warming via the greenhouse effect and cause acid rain. The solution has to be simple. Stop peeing. Ladies and gentlemen, they will not give up. The climate activists will continue to scare you about climate change in every and any conceivable way. Now, when you go pee, you are allegedly a human pollution machine that is heating up the planet. The voiding of your bladder must be curtailed for the sake of the planet. So says the science. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
Mama, what does the chicken say? Dog. Cat. Giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Government faked a pandemic.
Government faked a test.
Government faked a cure.
Government must be held accountable.
There's nothing fake about us. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
On our final stretch with Alexis Baden Maye of the Organic Consumers Association, which you can find at organicconsumers.org, her Substack, scamerica.substack.com. And maybe, you know, in this last segment to get a bit more positive and look at some of the things that OCA is doing in terms of building a better future, whether it's agriculture, farming, or health. I think you guys have a presence in Mexico as well, one of my home countries. I'm a proud Mexican, American-Mexican. And, you know, where would you like to start in terms of, you know, some of these issues that OCA is working on?
Yeah, well, I'd love to tell you about what we're doing in Mexico. We have a farm near San Miguel de Allende, and it is an area that was deforested about 500 years ago. And the climate is sort of similar to Austin. And it would have, you know, when you go to Austin, you see so many beautiful live oaks. And that's what it would have looked like around San Miguel, but it's been completely deforested and only a few little scrubby trees remain, and people have been using the land for pasture, but it's not well suited to pasture. So the land is incredibly degraded. And so that obviously creates problems. But I mean, I guess the exciting part is that you can rehabilitate a landscape like that. And when you get more trees, you get more water flow, you can restore rivers, you can, you know, create more moisture in the air just by having more plants, and you can rapidly improve the microclimate in a region. So what we're doing on the farm is starting to develop an agroforestry system that is building back towards that oak forest. And one of the first places to start is with the trees and the plants that are thriving even in this heavily degraded, dried out landscape. And one of those plants is agave. And agave is just one of the most amazing plants. It produces enough liquid each day to keep a human being alive. And it's a sweet liquid that is naturally fermented. It kind of ends up like a kind of like a an alcoholic kombucha, you know, like a beer sort of. And it's called pulque, and people really like that in the region. So it's kind of an amazing plant. And one of the things that the farmers regionally figured out is that they could chop up the agave leaves and ferment them in a very simple system, you know, like just like sauerkraut, it will ferment itself. So all you have to do is chop it up, put it in a bucket, put the lid on the bucket, come back later, and it's fermented. Once it's fermented, it's an ideal livestock feed, and you can feed it to basically any grazing animal. It's good for dairy cows. It can be given to goats and sheep. And so this is a big breakthrough because, you know, when you get to that point where your landscape is so degraded and you can't raise animals on the land, which is basically, obviously, you know, fruits and vegetables are great, but people need protein. And especially when you're, you know, if you want to be self-sufficient, it's, you know, animals, there's a reason why we raise animals. It really works. So now to have this type of livestock feed in a system where they're reintegrating, you know, the mesquite is still there. Those are the scrubby trees, but mesquite pods can also be ground into flour, and the mesquite trees sequester nitrogen in the soil, which is good for fertility. And so we are doing this agroforestry system that has a lot of levels to it and a lot of ways that it can be immediately beneficial to self-sufficient local small-scale farmers. So it's really exciting. And it's called the Billion Agave Project. And you can read about it at regenerationinternational.org. That's our international organization. We have partners all over the world working on projects like this. And we really hope that it gets adopted into the American Southwest. So my boss, Ronnie Cummins, he's the main ambassador of this project. He's been working on it in Mexico very intensely for a couple of years. And he's now hoping to spread the word and get farmers all around the whole eco region where this system would be very beneficial.
And people also need tequila from the agave. I live in Jalisco, which is, Guadalajara, the second biggest city is in Jalisco, and that's the biggest food producer, I believe, in all of Mexico, the state of Jalisco, and that's where tequila comes from. And you just drive around, agave is everywhere. I've even thought about, you know, I've been looking for a place to have my end of the world location in Mexico. And, you know, I had just had the thought, you know, what if I looked around the town of Tequila, you know, or you know, rural places like that. But getting your thought as well on organic, I guess, farming, I just have a question related to the scalability. There have been some criticisms related to what happened in Sri Lanka, which had a 98% ESG score, and things have collapsed there. But there's been, I haven't really looked into it, but some criticism that, you know, they kind of did away with fertilizers and tried to go more organic, but that, you know, maybe it takes a lot of time to do that or to scale it out. You know, any thoughts, especially if you have a big population that relies on, you know, the conventional methods of producing food. Have you guys looked into how, you know, we could transition? You know, does it take a long time? How does that sort of work?
Well, in organic, the rule of thumb is 3 years. That's how long you have to have land under organic production to satisfy the requirements of USDA organic. And, you know, when I first learned about that, I assumed like, oh, I guess that's to sort of detox the land, get the herbicide and pesticide residues off of there. But then I was told by farmers, no, no, that's about building soil fertility. That's how long it takes to revamp the soil. Because as you pour synthetic fertilizers on the soil, you kill soil biological life. You, all the bacteria in the soil that makes the soils alive, you know, that's what makes it fertile. And when you use synthetic fertilizers, you kill that healthy soil life. And so it takes some time to revitalize it. And it makes sense to taper off, but it also makes sense to, you know, you have to figure out what your fertilizers are going to be. Certainly compost, animal manure, rotations of crops, intercropping, you know, some crops fix nitrogen, some crops need nitrogen. You have to have the right rotations. I mean, the quickest, easiest way is to get animals on the land. And if you can get animals on the land, then that cycle will kick into high gear, because the animal manure is going to provide that bacteria that the healthy soil needs. You know, it's all going to come back to life really, really quick. So there are some quick fixes. But yeah, it should be planned. It shouldn't be like you're using, you know, since, you know, the government's subsidizing synthetic fertilizer one day, and then the next day they say, oh, sorry, none available. And you don't know how to do any of these other ways of building soil fertility. I mean, it's not resource intensive, but it is knowledge intensive. You have to know, you know, you have to know these methods, and it takes time. You know, you mentioned the agave and tequila. You know, I forgot to mention that wonderful aspect of agave. And of course, that is how I for a second, as I was telling the story, like, how was it that farmers figured this out? But of course, from tequila, they had just a whole lot of these big agave leaves, and they probably just accidentally, you know, fermented some of them and saw the animals eating them. But we just got in Mexico, Via Organica, our sister organization, just got 30,000 acres of agave certified organic. And of course, this is building towards our agroforestry system, where we eventually hope to have, you know, bigger trees like oaks in the system, and have livestock integrated, and to have a very productive system. But, you know, obviously in the meantime, we can always make organic tequila.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go out to San Miguel at some point. My James Guzman of the Borderless blog lives in San Miguel. I chat with him on TNT once a week about what's going on in Mexico. And you talked about putting animals on the land, although they don't want us to do that. We see in Netherlands, Canada, Ireland, they want farmers to kill their animals. I just read yesterday in Spain, talking about pets. Now, if your dog gets pregnant in Spain, or cat, that you can get a 10,000 euro fine. It's not allowed anymore. And we saw the New York Times talk about cannibalism not long ago. You know, the whole Great Reset agenda. Yeah. We got about less than 3 minutes left. You know, two minutes or so to midnight. And any final closing thoughts, as well as, you know, if you want to let us know where the best places to find you online, best websites, as well as Organic Consumers Association.
Yeah, thanks so much, Ervoye. This has been a really fun conversation. We didn't get as much into the bioweapons issues, so I do encourage people to go to organicconsumersassociation.org and find my Gain of Function Hall of Shame series. I'd love to get feedback from folks. I'm sure other people are doing research into COVID origins and the players involved in the whole ecosystem of biological weapons and the history. So that's my passion these days. So I'd really love involvement and feedback on what I've done.
All right. I think the last time we chatted, you were kind of not so optimistic. How are you feeling now? Optimistic, realistic, pessimistic on the outlook going forward?
Well, I'll give you my prediction, and maybe you've already talked about this with others, but it really seems to me like we're getting primed for President Liz Cheney. And I just feel like, you know, Dick Cheney and Henry Kissinger, they're still alive. And I think they probably still think they run things if they don't actually run things. You know, who knows if Biden will be able to make it through this term. I wouldn't be surprised if Kamala Harris ends up running as an incumbent, but I also wouldn't be surprised if she chose, you know, reached across the aisle to choose Liz Cheney, because Liz Cheney has just become this hero for Democrats because she's so anti-Trump. I mean, I think it's all a farce, but that's my prediction.
That's going to be scary. All right, we're out of time. Thank you so much, Alexis, organicconsumers.org, scamerica.substack.com. News break coming up. We'll be right back on TNT.